This is 5 in 10 from Skywatch TV for July 2nd, 2020. I'm Derek Gilbert. Topic number 5 today, Epstein's madam is busted. NBC New York reports that Ghislaine Maxwell has been arrested by the FBI and charged by federal prosecutors. She's expected in a federal courtroom today, Thursday. She was arrested in New Hampshire on charges related to the activities of Jeffrey Epstein, the longtime friend and confidant of the dead pedophile, alleged to have helped him groom teen girls for sex for the rich and powerful. Ghislaine has been accused by 3 women of procuring young girls to perform massage and sexual acts for Epstein and his associates. As recently as May, it was thought that she was holding up at a luxury apartment in Paris on the Avenue Matignon, just about 5 minutes away from the dead pedophile's $8.6 million flat. It will be interesting to see if her connections to the intelligence community come out during the legal proceedings. We're guessing not. Topic number 4, another mystery explosion in Iran. An incident, their word, occurred at Iran's Natanz nuclear facility, but no damage reported, and it's operating as usual. But of course, that's according to Iran's Atomic Energy Organization, and they've been known to fudge just a little now and then. The Natanz fuel enrichment plant covers 100,000 square meters and built about 25 feet underground. It's one of several Iranian facilities being monitored by the International Atomic Energy Agency, which is the UN Atomic Energy Watchdog. The question is whether somebody physically sabotaged Natanz, hacked it with cyber weapons, or whether Iran itself did something to cause the accident. And it's also unclear because, as I mentioned, Iran doesn't always divulge the whole truth about accidents like this, whether the damage was only to the construction site near Natanz, as they claimed, or was to the enrichment facility itself. Now, this is the 3rd explosion in Iran in the past week, 2 of them at secretive nuclear and/or weapons facilities. All 3 been reported in the Iranian media with various excuses as to how this was really not that big a deal and everything is just fine. Trust us, nothing to see here. Just move along, please. Topic number 3, Tsar Vlad. Vladimir Putin has the way cleared for him now to serve as president of Russia until 2036. Russian voters Wednesday approved changes to the constitution that will allow Putin to run for re-election in 2024 and again in 2024 and again in 2030 for 2 more 6-year terms. According to the results, with 3/4 of the precincts counted, 77.6% voted in favor of the constitutional amendments. This was the first time in Russia that polls have been kept open for an entire week. The reason given to allow for more people to vote without having to compromise social distancing during the coronavirus outbreak, but critics of the Kremlin said this was to manipulate the outcome. Again, the amendments allow Putin to run again in 2024, 2030. He's 67 now, so if he wins those re-elections, he will be 93 by 2036. By the way, voters also approved some additional changes to the Constitution that outlaw same-sex marriage, mention a belief in God as a core value of the nation, and emphasize the primacy of Russian law over international norms. Changes like that, you can see why globalists in the West are not very happy with Russia and wanted Putin out. Topic number 2 now. Vatican pressures Israel. The Vatican summoned both the U.S. and Israeli ambassadors to express the Pope's concern about Israel's move to extend sovereignty to Jewish settlements in the Jordan River Valley, Judea and Samaria. And of course, Judea and Samaria, what the world calls the West Bank. Vatican statement Wednesday said that meetings with Cardinal Pietro Parolin, who's the Vatican Secretary of State, U.S. Ambassador Calista Gingrich, and Israeli Ambassador Oren David took place on Tuesday. Now, this is a very highly unusual move. Parolin, the Vatican's top diplomat, reportedly expressed, and I'm quoting from the report now, the concern of the Holy See regarding possible unilateral actions that may further jeopardize the search for peace between Israelis and Palestinians, as well as the delicate situation in the Middle East, end quote. Well, of course, because the way things have been going are just been so great to this point. The Vatican statement reiterated its position in support of a 2-state solution, saying, quote, Israel and the state of Palestine, recognized by the Vatican, have the right to exist and live in peace and security within internationally recognized borders, end quote. Now, while this has been going on, in Israel, a massive garbage dump created by the Palestinian Authority has been growing near the city of Ramallah, which is where the PA is headquartered. Israeli enforcement forces have been shut down by COVID-19. So, taking advantage of the furlough of civil administration inspectors, Arab municipalities around Ramallah in Samaria have bypassed proper waste treatment and disposal procedures, essentially sending trucks to the edge of a cliff overlooking an abandoned quarry and just dumping the trash down into the quarry. This is near the Sha'ar Binyamin Commercial Center off of Route 60. Route 60 is one of the main north-south routes through the Judean and Samarian hill country. It connects Jerusalem to Nazareth. We spent a lot of time on Route 60 on our tours the last couple of years, and I'm pretty sure I remember the quarry visible from Route 60. So it's hard to imagine how anyone in the Jewish government there in Jerusalem failed to notice thousands of cubic yards of refuse being dumped by trucks backed up to the edge of a cliff over the last month or so. This not just an eyesore, but also creating to water runoff problems, polluting the water there in Samaria. Well, coming up, another report that is not from the Babylon Bee. That's ahead on 5 and 10.
COVID-19 has changed everything. Because of the coronavirus, we can't bring the sold-out Defender Conference to Branson this year. So we decided, if we can't bring the conference to Branson, we'll bring it to you instead. SkyWatch TV's 2020 Defender Conference is going virtual. If you thought you were going to miss out because you couldn't travel to Branson this year or because the conference sold out too quickly, now see and hear world-class speakers, cutting-edge presentations in the comfort of your own home. And to make it better, we're adding new speakers like Steve Quayle and New York Times best-selling author Joel Richardson. And don't miss what Tom Horn says will be his last conference presentation ever. Plus, we'll add all of the presentations from the 2019 Defender Conference, so you're getting two conferences for the price of one. Sign up now, SkyWatch TV's 2020 Defender Conference. Virtual, but bigger than ever. It goes live August 27th, 2020. For information and registration, log on to DefenderConference.com. That's DefenderConference.com.
And item number one today, oh, the humanity when they get too close to the wealthy. The Capitol Hill Occupied Protest, or CHOP, or CHAZ Zone in Seattle, as it's been called, was dismantled yesterday, Wednesday, by the Seattle Police Department. Beginning at about 5 a.m. Pacific time, police rolled in with armored vehicles using pepper spray and flashbangs to clear the crowd out of the CHOP. It took the police just under an hour to clear the zone and take back control of something that had been under the control of a mob for 23 days, ever since Seattle's Mayor Jenny Durkan ordered the police to abandon the East Precinct building on June 8th. Seattle police made 31 arrests yesterday. Within the past week, there have been four shootings within the zone, leaving two teenagers and dead and three other people seriously wounded. In all, according to Seattle police, 65 robberies, assaults, and other crimes were committed during the 23 days that the CHAZ CHOP zone was under the control of the protesters. Police chief said that the area had become lawless and brutal. And yet, Mayor Durkan was fine with this until Sunday, when the mob decided to march to her home. Well, after they surrounded her property and spray-painted it with graffiti, she issued a statement declaring an end to the CHOP, saying Seattle can and should peacefully demonstrate but should not put families and children at risk, end quote. Apparently, the families and children in the zone occupied by the protesters for 23 days, that was fine, just don't come to my neighborhood. And another story that's, again, not the Babylon Bee, finest news reporting on the planet. It's parody, but the parody is so close to reality anymore, you almost can't tell them apart. Seriously, this is one where we have to preface this by saying this is a real news story. A new study from the University of Colorado Denver claims that all of those street protests over the past month have actually slowed the spread of the coronavirus. That's right. Yes. Tens of thousands of people taking to the streets in close proximity to one another, not practicing social distancing, has slowed the spread of the virus. Why? Well, apparently, more people on the streets means more social distancing. Now, if that confuses you, as it does me, it's probably because we are not credentialed scholars. But here's the logic behind this. According to Andrew Friedson, who is the CU Denver professor, one of the co-authors of the paper, we think that what's going on is it's the people who are not going to protest are staying away. The overall effect for the entire city is more social distancing because people are avoiding the protests. Not the Babylon Bee. Knowing human nature as I do, I think the opposite effect is probably true. As those of us who are rational thinkers look at the hypocrisy of people like Seattle Mayor Jenny Durkan or New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio, browbeating people who want to attend a family funeral or a church service, but then praising the tens of thousands who go out to protest and saying, well, that's more important than... I think average folk are saying, well, clearly they're not serious about the spread of this disease. I need to go to the home center and buy some landscaping material, so I'm going. But no, scholars have decreed it. More protests equals slower spread, not the Babylon Bee. Well, we're just a couple of weeks away from exploring the impact of the Sons of God and the Giants of Old, the 8th annual Sons of God Giants of Old Conference coming to Lubbock, Texas. This is at the Fellowship, Church of Pastor Dan Crestman, the conference coordinated by Dr. Judd Burton, author of Interview with the Giant, Ethno-Historical Notes on the Nephilim, and the Nephilim Dossier. Speakers include Dr. Mike Heiser, Dr. Judd Burton, Dr. Doug Hamp, archaeologist Dr. Aaron Judkins, Dr. Greg Reed, an expert in satanic ritual abuse and spiritual warfare, Joe Taylor, curator of the Mount Blanco Fossil Museum, and I will be contributing a presentation by video. We'll be here in studio recording programs on July 18th. The conference is 2 days, Friday and Saturday, July 18th and 20th at the Fellowship in Lubbock. To find out more and to register, only $10 to register, log on to burtonbeyond.com, Judd Burton's website, burtonbeyond.com. SkyWatch TV's annual conference, the Defender Conference, going virtual but bigger than ever. Steve Quayle and Joel Richardson added to the list of speakers. To find out more and to sign up, log on today to defenderconference.com, defenderconference.com. Our tour of Israel next year, and hopefully that illegal dump in the quarry will be gone by then, but we will be seeing enough sites elsewhere to make it more than worth your while. The Altar of Joshua, Gilgal Rephaim, the tunnels underneath the Western Wall, and we will ascend to the Temple Mount as well. We'll also see the actual historical sites of the crucifixion and the burial tomb of Jesus, courtesy of our special guest, Messianic Rabbi Zev Poret. To look at a sample itinerary and get an idea of costs, and to reserve your place if you're so inclined, sign up today at skywatchinisrael.com. The website again, skywatchinisrael.com. This week on SkyWatch TV, we talk about the Defender Conference and the progress on the new SkyWatch TV studio, how you can help us get across the finish line. We're just weeks away, and as I record this, by the way, they're installing carpeting in part of the new studio, but we still need lights and cameras. Tom Horn gives you an update, and you'll find our broadcast schedule for the program at skywatchtv.com/channels. But if you've got one of our channels for the set-top boxes out there, Roku, Apple TV, or Amazon Fire TV, just click your remote and we will broadcast on your schedule. Of course, you could also bring us right into your smartphone or tablet. All of our video programs, the SkyWatch TV podcast, if you want an audio-only option, news the mainstream media wants you to miss, and our schedule of upcoming events, all of that delivered right to your smartphone or tablet, whether it's iOS, Android, or an Amazon Kindle Fire tablet. We've got apps for all of those, absolutely free. And links to the app stores are posted at skywatchtv.com. Our website, gilberthouse.org. I share that with Sharon K. Gilbert, my best friend, who joins me tomorrow for Science Sci-Friday. Until then, thank you for watching as we keep watch. I'm Derek Gilbert, and this is 5 in 10 from SkyWatch TV.